exclusive. There was still a lot of rigs at that time where they have that long belt, you know, working the rig before they got just use regular pumping units with either a gas or an electric engine. In those old days, they had that big long belt. Well, J.B. Nelson was down the road, and he was an old-timer. In fact, he and my mother both graduated from Guardia High School in 1911, and he was Guardia High School. And J.B. Nelson was down the street north of about where the freeway goes through, across the street from Charlie Brown's restaurant. And then he had that went through there in 1960. That's where everybody scattered when they came in there and did this moving around on account of the freeway. And Oil Fuel Corporation was down there, pretty terrible. And he eventually came up and bought the property where my dad was on Cherry. My dad had only been able to lease it, and it never was for sale. This man bought it, and my dad had to move down on Hill Street. Property now, my husband and I have. And Fairfield moved in there, and then next door, he only used part of it, continued the Oil Fuel business, and then right next door to him, he rented to Ralph Dalton, who had a pipe supply place there. And then we had the next property, and then at Maxfield Auto Parts, and then north of us was Cherry Auto Wrecking. Cherry Auto Wrecking started back before World War II, but I'm not sure of the year, but it was in the late 30s, and it was bought out. Another man moved in there and had several. We've all been able to, through the years, lease property or rent it so cheap. My dad always felt like, why would anybody buy this stuff? He rented 8 acres, and I think it was, we only paid something like that. He didn't start out with 8 acres, but he started accumulating it. And he had that property for, I'd say the most he ever paid was $200. He got the 8 acres. He'd pay like $25 for a piece of it, $50 or something. And all together, it came to around $200. And we subleased with other people sometimes, part of it we didn't need. And that's how my husband and I got started here in the wrecking business, was because when the bulk of the property was bought out from under my dad, luckily we had bought this other property on Hill Street, so we had a place to go. But there was still, he still had about close to an acre under lease that he didn't need. So he told my husband and I, if we wanted that lease, we could have it to start this wrecking. And that was, we had, I guess, the last wrecking one acquisition that was built. And on they clamped down. They just don't even want it. That's how we got our license. The man that owned the property we leased, his dad ended up over. It was owned by a man named Jones. And Jones was related to the Midway Fishing School. He worked for Midway Fishing School for years. What's confusing there is Mrs. Robinette, who owns that 23 years, whatever it is, part of that. Her mother was a Jones. Then when she married, her name was Robinette. They leased the property to Midway Fishing School, but they are not related to the Jones that are Midway Fishing School, but they are the Jones coming up there, and they think that's the cast of the loop. Then the property was very, we bought some property, very nice. Drum Island. But part of the Cherry Auto Rental, their property, they rented half of their property from Ivan and half from the city. Now, the city, I guess, is bought that from Ivan. It wasn't that much demand for it, you know. No, because most people, when they sold the property, sold their oil rights. Everything 500 feet down, they withheld the oil rights. And some of ours, they withheld the oil rights, but some of them didn't. They seem to be getting it years ago. You can drill on anything. They didn't care where you go. You can drill as close together as you want it. Then later on, it got to where you could only drill one well with 20,000 square feet. So a lot of people had owned a lot, there was no way they could drill a well anyway. The only way they'd ever get a well drilled would be if some developer would come in and tie up a big bunch of parcels. Well, there's all kinds of stories that people will tell you about that one. I have a neighbor here that her husband grew up in Springfield, and he might be he ended up being a church man. He was born and raised in Springfield, and he was telling me that they had possibly several acres. They were back way back in the past.
hard work on your computer.
Get a good living.
And there are lots of people like that.
I really don't. I know that he ended up working for priests who own Gamelon. Brother Bill Cree, I knew better, he died several years ago. Their father was an attorney, and you know, a lot of attorneys, instead of getting a fee to draw papers for a drill and oil well, they would donate their services for a percentage, and some of them were very well. It was a very good angle. It was good for the people, and they had money to hire an attorney. Good for the attorney to put his time into it and write up a good lease partnership or whatever it was. But they sure did end up making a lot of money. And that's what I understand. He said that he got a real good talk with oil money off of the Well, now that Haven across the street from us, owned now by Harry Dawson, Haven had developed a marvelous tool. And when they started the oil exploration in Arabia and some of these other countries, they didn't have the technique or the technology or the equipment. And I understand that this Dawson over there has done real well through the years exporting his equipment, the oil disappeared, kind of died in the field. Never come back. It had a little alert, come back a little bit. Never been good. Not like it was. Prior to that, this was a booming thing. And then the OPEC thing started to buy oil and other things cheap. It really knocked a little bit down. Never come back. Yes, most of this is all over. Mainly because he specialized in used equipment, and he sold pipes, this thing, and then eventually he went into the, what they call the blowout preventer rental business, and that was the thing he ended up with, because pipe business finally went completely, and I think it was partly because you were able to buy Japanese pipes as cheap as I buy you. They could buy that cheap as you can sell here in the U.S. So, how he ended up on Hill Street was this blowout preventer business when he sold Jack Green. And Jack Green died some years ago, and his wife Wanda continued to run the business. And she just retired and sold out. And the business went down. So the blowout preventer business is mainly used. Got a long view, and in those days, back then in the 40s and 50s, this is what happened. He just built something. Like sometimes we bring in an old truck body and a big old trailer body or something, and use it for storage. And nobody said anything. If you want to put in a cement slab, you did it. It was hodgepodge, and not until when he put that freeway in and people started really having to build them. Then we started taking out permits, and my dad couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that we had to go get a permit to do things. He could never get that. But he was very good. Councilman and the police chief, everybody that was there, the firemen, it was like a big family, the way I remember. It was a warm, comfortable place to do business. People were healthy. Well, we had lots of fires. We had a terrific fire department. And a chill of wooden oil there. It
they either burned up or had to rip them out after a certain length of time. We've had some horrible fires. No. The only fire that ever affected us was the hand pump fire in 58. That was it. I know him well. He had prize fight wrestling ring over there on Warren. I guess about 2100 on Warren. So we were building a building up there, and I think he was using the warehouse. And he made a deal with my dad. My dad had known him from the days he was a fighter up in the staff. And my dad said he was one of the most generous, nice people he'd ever known. And he was a terrific fighter. Very good. And my dad was crazy about prize fighting. And his Mexico had a lot of hangers on. And when he went on a fight, he'd get his purse, and I don't know what it would be in those days, maybe $100 or $150. He'd be handing out dollar bills to all his friends, the hangers on, this man. He was very generous. And then when he started that, he always had big ideas for no money, so he wanted to build this arena, and he needed money to build it, and he didn't have any, so he came to my dad, and wanted to know my dad would get his pipe he needed to build the ring, and a lot of different things he needed for construction. So my dad gave him the pipe in exchange for tickets. So we went to the wrestling match, a great one. I used to go with it, right there on the road, just north of Hill. Oh, we used to go down to the auditorium, I think every Wednesday, Thursday night. I went with invitations. So long as we went down to the old auditorium. And it was a pretty hot thing at that time. It was a real source of entertainment. Well, before television, we used to do a lot of things different than that, you know. We'd sit around home and watch the wrestling. We went to the wrestling. And it was very entertaining. Well, now the bowling, I think it was earlier than the wrestling. Because it was back in the day of the marathon, and that I think was great. And he had the bowling alley down there where it ended up being a 40. Later on, every year at Christmas time, he went out of his way to see to it that all the kids got gifts. He collected stuff all year long. He had a wife that he was crazy about, and when she died, I thought about her dying. And he had my mother and dad and I come over to his house. He lived on Sue Rita, 22 or 3 foot long, and he had extended his home. And he showed us this one bedroom that had nothing in it but a blue light and a small room. He said, when we walked into that room, he was down his wife's presence. Now, he had a very handsome son. I don't know whatever happened to him. He was around. I don't know what Well, one time he tried to get elected or tried to get somebody, but I couldn't block votes. He hired people from all around and pay them a dollar or two to take some vote. And they all registered their friends. Very illegal, he got caught. They didn't, I don't think they did anything to him except tell him not to do that. I don't know what kept him there, but he'd come in and buy a used pipe. 21 would blow out and have to collapse. He would never replace them all. He would replace that one. And he just would come in and play off. I've known him through. He never started his business until January 29th. He started running a business after that. Probably 3 years when he was in business. He was coming in. He was a very nice man. He didn't tell me why. And so even when he bought the boat, it was not the facility. He thought he was doing something new. He thought, well, at least he was doing good. Oh, yeah, he wanted gambling and he wanted all kinds of stuff. I think that was the reason he wanted to get the election in his way. Which has been tried by several people through the years. I don't know her. I've seen her. I've met her. But I don't really know her. Oh, yeah. Probably 10 years ago, a neighbor had always wanted to live in it. That's the kind of thing I could see. But it was interesting. And it was real down-to-earth people. The most interesting, I'm sure, was in 73. Very old lady. No, because when I went there during World War II, I went there a couple of times, it was jam-packed with people and a lot of very young people and a lot of service men. And it was an uphill thing. When I went this time about 10 years ago, it was so packed. I thought, I didn't feel at all comfortable. I'm glad we got out. No, I think it's because when I went there during the war, anybody was gone. Now, I don't think ordinary people would go there. It's just kind of a low class. Just in my estimation, I don't know, maybe I kind of like to think I'm above those people, but on the other hand, they're not my kind of people. He married me. We got married in June of 58, and he's been a paint salesman with W.P. Fuller, and he spent 5 years. And when we got married, my dad realized he was going to have to move, and he had that property. He talked to my husband about it. He said, "I've always thought that wrecking business would be something I'd like to do. That would be a very good business. You can make money at that." And it was farther sight from my husband's mind. I mean, he was in the paint business. He intended someday to have his own paint store. That's what he thought he'd like to do. And we talked about it, and by December, my husband got married in June. By December, he quit his job and started the business. And we worked up until we were pretty far out. December of 86. The girl who worked, Kathy Walker, who worked for J.B. Nelson, told me that she had met this man, and she said, "I think he's just right for you." And at that time, I was divorced and had 2 daughters, and I was not interested in marrying him. But anyway, she insisted, and I thought, oh, I'd be blind date thing set up before, and they don't usually work out. But no, I mean, this guy's special. So I met him. He set up a deal for us to have dinner at her house. And we met for about 2 weeks, and that was it. 6 months before we got married. He was a salesman for Dave County. He was an outdoor salesman, traveling around. And she met a roommate of his. She now is in business on the corner of 27th and Cherry. She has geothermal, AWGS thermal, and she calls her name now Gavin Walker. And she ended up marrying a man soon after that, who was named Fred Walker, that ran a business in competition with my dad. He had a blowout better business over on Montefiore. And he was a mud engineer and a geologist, Stanford graduate, very intelligent man. And they had a good marriage, and they were married for quite a few years. And he died. He left her very young. A lot of real estate. He had three nice sons, and she's done real well by them. She had children of her own, and she used to hold his kids like they were hers. That's how I met Tom. And it was a good business, and we were very pleased. My husband is a very tidy, neat person, and the city gave us awards. We got honored one time. They gave us a shovel, a gold shovel, with a purple ribbon, and made a presentation at a council meeting for being. They used to award people that did something outstanding in the appearance of their place to upgrade things. It was a nice honor. And then one time at a big meeting we had up in Los Angeles, at the annual banquet for the auto distributors, auto wreckers. And at the Beverly Hills, we had the city manager and the mayor surprised us. We didn't even know they were going to do this. And they came to this big banquet and made an award to my husband, a big nice plaque and a photograph and a lot of things. It was really nice. And they used our place as an example of what could be done. And we were next door to Cherry Auto Wrecking, which was a typical greasy auto wrecking place, like most people ran. That was the usual place. But our place was a very neat place. And we did win awards that we were very proud of. They were there long before us. That's what gave my father the idea that this was a good business. He could see what was going on over there. And he said, no, it's not that good. So that's why my husband and I, at the time, I had a company car working with my dad, and my husband worked with the Fuller Paint, had a company car. We didn't even own a car. And we knew nothing about that particular business. But we both had. And he had sales experience, I had bookkeeping experience, so we knew a little bit about business. But we really knew nothing about that particular business, but we just plowed into it. We borrowed $14,000 from my dad and got started. And it was marvelous business. We didn't give it up. Not really, because by that time, the oil business was starting to fail. It wasn't as good as it. There were several others, but they didn't last long. Now, Carrie,